Amen. Good morning. Let's give God a hand praise this morning. Today is the last message in our series titled Stay Tuned. Next Sunday, we will start a new series, and we will be talking for a couple of weeks about faith. And then toward the end of June, we will go into a series about prayer. I'm excited because prayer and faith is so important to our church and to believers. So we look forward within the next few weeks to talk from those two topics, prayer and faith. Now, as you know, we've been in a series here at Grace titled Stay Tuned. Those of you that have been here, you know that each Sunday we talked in this series from the title of a famous TV show or movie. Just to recap briefly, the first Sunday in this series, we talked from the topic, Stay Tuned. The following Sunday, we talked from the topic, As the World Turns. And then the following, our Pastor Ryan came and talked to us from the topic Duck Dynasty. And then the following Sunday, we talked from the topic The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Following Sunday, we talked about This Is Us. We talked about family, church as a family. On last Sunday, we talked about The Extreme Makeover. Today's topic, in closing this series, I want to talk to you from the topic, Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is a series of American action spy films based on the television series of the same name created by Bruce Giller. The television show Mission Impossible aired from 1966 to 1973 on CBS. And again, it came from 1988 to 1990 on ABC. In 1996, the series went to the big screen, came to the movies. Just so you know, it became the 16th highest grossing film series of all times, with a worldwide gross of over $3.5 billion. It is co-produced by the star Tom Cruise, whose character is Ethan Hunt, an agent of the Impossible Mission Force. The movie is about a team of secret government agents known as the Impossible Mission Force, or the IMF. Now, of course, you remember the old television series, Mission Impossible. Me, personally, I prefer the television version because it is more believable and a little less high-tech than the movie version. If you remember the show, each week the show would open with one of the agents, usually Jim Phillips, who played the part of Peter Graves. He would always get the team's next assignment on a video message. The tape would always be the same. It would start with, "Good morning, Mr. Phillips. Your mission, if you decide to accept it." And then the voice on the tape would explain the mission for the Mission Impossible force to undergo. At the conclusion of the tape, the voice would always explain, "As always, should you or any of your IMF force team be captured or killed, the secretary would disavow any knowledge of your actions." Then the last thing that would happen, it would say, "This tape will self-destruct in 5 minutes." How many of you remember that? Now, if you've seen any of the Mission Impossible film movies, then you know that they never fail to live up to their namesake. Even though it would seem that Ethan Hunt had to wiggle or come to near-death experiences, even though he would have to dive in deep waters or climb a high mountain or go through a dark tunnel, for some reason he would always fight his way through and the mission would always be accomplished. Now, I thought about the Mission Impossible team. They always had tools and different items that they used to help them successfully complete their mission. They had shoes that they were able to use as a telephone. They had belt buckles that shot bullets. They had earpieces where they can be in one country and communicate with someone in another country. They had all of the equipment that they needed in order to successfully complete their mission. When you're watching the movie, you may wonder, how in the world do they succeed in some of the missions that they go on? Secret agents would always be there and able to do what they were tasked to do. And they would always get out of trouble at the last second. Secret agents and spy thrillers are nothing compared to the impossible mission that God has given us today. But the good news is he's also has given us all of the tools that we need to beat the odds. Now, we can't talk through our shoes, and we cannot shoot bullets through our belt buckles. We have no earpiece that helps us communicate with people in other countries. But we have the weapons that we need in order to fight and to win this mission. We have the Word of God, and the good news is that tape would not destruct in 5 seconds. For the Bible says that God's Word will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word will stand. After watching the latest Mission Impossible movie with its pulse-pounding action, narrow escapes, and down-to-the-wire saving of the day, I was left on the edge of my seat wanting more. And then I realized that I'm already part of a mission that is 10 times more exciting than any movie. You and I, church, are called to be very special agents in a very special battle against good and evil. We all face uncertainties, situations that are impossible for us to solve. We have sicknesses that are impossible for us to cure, burdens that seem impossible for us to bear, problems that seem impossible for us to solve. Maybe I'm not talking about you today. Maybe you can't relate, but I don't know about you, but I have situations in my life sometimes that I see no way out, no open door, no way out, but I want you to know that God is able. Or we find past things in our lives that are impossible to forget. We find ourselves in situations, burdens that are impossible to undo. Weaknesses that are impossible for us to overcome. Habits that are impossible for us to break. We have relationships that are impossible for us to mend. Hurts that are hard to mend. Needs that are hard to meet. We are limited in what we can do as people. But I want you to know, with God, we can do anything. It is possible for you to do anything. One thing, I look at the word impossible, and if you break that word down into two words, it says, I'm possible. Isn't that wonderful? I'm possible. I want you to know today that you are possible, and whatever God has put for you to do, you have the ability, you have the equipment. God has prepared you to do exactly what he said you can do. I read in my Bible that says, who God calls, he qualifies. You are qualified today, church, to do exactly what God has called you to do. Or we have much that seem impossible in our lives. Darkness comes, and in the middle of it, the future looks blank. Somebody said once, when it rains, it pours. How many of you have faced those situations where it seemed like behind every door, behind every situation, something else worse happens? Have you ever went to that time in your life where it seems like everything is going bad and nothing's going right? But don't quit. You are in good company. You may argue with yourself that there is no way forward. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes, ladders, and tunnels, and anything that he needs to pull you through the pits of uncertainty and to pull you from the pit of hell. He's already, if you're a believer today, has already pulled you from the pit of sin and hell, the bondage of sin. You are free from the bondage of sin. That was an impossible mission that was made possible by Jesus Christ. Our hope today, church, is found in Matthew 19 and 26. It says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible. It is impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. Whatever you're aiming to accomplish today, whatever you're aiming to accomplish this year, whatever you're aiming to accomplish as a church, I know it seems you're facing these things and you look at them as impossible. But again, with God, nothing is impossible. I have five suggestive steps that you need to take to experience the mighty work of God and to accomplish the mission that God has set you on. Number one, the most important thing that you can do in any situation is to pray. We're going into a series soon on prayer, but I just want to mention this, that if you want to accomplish the mission that God talked to you or gave to you, then you have to pray. Now, you don't have an earpiece in your ear where you can communicate with the leader of your mission. But I want you to know today that prayer is how we communicate with the leader of our mission. It is how we talk to our leader. We talk to him through prayer. And what I like about it, you can pray how you pray, and I can pray how I pray. I can pray in my broken language. I can mispronounce words, and God understands exactly what I'm saying. If you feel God is calling you into a deeper prayer life with him, do not resist it. Being in intercessory groups is a good thing, and having personal prayer time is a great thing. While it will prepare you to fight, if you pray, you will be prepared to fight for your church. You'll be prepared to fight for your family. You'll be prepared to fight for yourself, and you do that by communicating with the leader of the mission. Number two, focus on who God is. Focus on his attributes and that he is a great, powerful God. A lot of times, believers, we lose sight on the fact that we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that is awesome. He is awesome to the height of awesomenticity. And yes, I made that word up. He is an awesome God, and he has the attributes to help you get through your mission. I read that he is an omniscient God. That is one of his attributes. He is omniscient, science, which means that he can do anything, or he knows everything. He's omnipotent, which means he can do anything. God is everywhere, and he can do anything. God is a mighty God. Now, there's a lot of other gods. A lot of people don't realize there's other gods. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that you should worship no other God. But I stop by to tell you today that none of those gods can outdo our God. They can't stand against our God. They can't stand in the presence of our God. they can't even be in the same room because our God is an awesome, mighty God. Even when you feel small and weak, when you feel that you have no hope, engage God in worship. Engage Him in praise. It will minister to your heart and your soul and help you enter into prayer and to experience the presence of God. That is what worship does. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I come to church on a Sunday morning, I'm not in the best of moods. I'm not always happy. I'm not always the jolly, happy, smiling guy that you see before you today. Sometimes I come to church and I'm not in a good mood. I'm not feeling the best. I don't even feel worthy sometimes to stand up here before you and preach the word of God. But when the worship starts, when they begin to sing praises to God, something fires up on the inside of me and it encourages me because there is strength in praise. Worship is our spiritual warfare. Number three, ask those, this is so important, ask those you trust to join you in praying for your needs and the needs of your church. Do you not realize that there is power in unity? There is power in togetherness. Do you not realize that if we as a church would just begin to get together and pray on one accord for the same thing, for the same mission, for the same insight, what a wonderful and awesome thing that would be if we all got together and begin to seek the Lord for the same thing, for the people in our communities, for the people in our church. If we all became a praying church that prayed together and that prayed and sought the Lord together, what mighty things we can do in this community. We can become the beacon light. We can be the lighthouse in the middle of the ocean that guides the ships to land. That's what we can do when we pray to God together. Praying with friends and family is one of God's ways to strengthen you during difficult times. The Bible says that the prayers of a righteous person prevaileth much. The prayers of God's people in agreement ascend to Him like sweet fragrance to His nostrils. He inhabits our praise. The fourth thing that we can do to accomplish this mission is to read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You have to know your mission in order to do your mission. You have to know what your mission is. You have to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Read the Word of God. It is your map. It is your navigation. You know, when I travel, sometimes I go places that I have been before. But just as like a security blanket, I put the address in my navigation just in case, so I won't miss a turn or miss a spot. I put it in my navigation. And I want you to know today, as we journey on this journey with Jesus, as we go on this mission, you ought to look every now and then at your navigation, which is your Bible. Or you might have been to seminary. You might think you know the Bible, but you have to crack open your navigation every now and then just so you won't miss a turn. The Psalms are particularly easy to identify with during dark times. I recommend you read the Psalms. Read God's promises and find hope in the victorious victory of others in the Bible. We'll be doing that in the upcoming series on prayer. Number five, know that God is with you. Know that God is with you. I thought about the movie Mission Impossible, and I thought about how sometimes the agent would be in a difficult situation. Sometimes he would be captive by an army or by the enemy. And you would think that there's no hope. He's bloodied and beaten and chained up, and they're beating him, trying to get information. right when you think it's over, his fellow agents would show up and rescue him, sometimes disguised as one of the soldiers that have them in captivity. And they'll walk in and unchain him and let him go. I want you to know today that God will come to your rescue. When you're in trouble, he will come to your rescue. And sometimes he'll come in disguise. He'll come as the person sitting next to you. He'll come as your pastor. He'll come as your prayer partner. But it's God working through them to rescue you. God does not create your troubles, but he does allow them for a purpose that you may never understand. But as you come to know God, you will see that his ways are higher than our ways, and that he has the perspective of eternity that we do not have. God provided his love for us by having his son, Jesus Christ, suffer on our behalf. Luke 1 and 37 says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I like that word, nothing. Again, I broke that word down like I did mission, or like I did impossible. And if you look at the word nothing, it two words there, no thing. No thing. So if you read the scripture in that sense, it says, "For with God, no thing shall be impossible." Nothing is impossible with God. If God has set you on a mission, then the mission is possible. God would not send you to do anything that you could not do. He would not put more on you than you can bear. It may seem like the mission is impossible, but I want you to know today it is possible. You are possible. If you are struggling with feelings of despair and hopelessness, take a step of faith to trust in God. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what you hope for and assurance about what you do not see." That's what faith is. You don't see it. You don't see the solution to the mission. You don't see the end of the mission, but faith causes you to believe what you don't see. Be encouraged by the truth that he is always in control and that he desires the best circumstances for you. It is his desire, his hope, his mission is for you to succeed. Every Christian, I want you to know, is commissioned as a minister of love and justice in the name of Jesus. Our mission is to preach the gospel. Now, some of you might say, "I'm not a preacher." Yes, you are. Preacher, by definition, is one who shares the word of God. I want you to know today that you're preachers, and it is your mission to share the word of God. Whatever your vocation is, you may be a salesman, a lawyer, a clerk, a doctor, a homemaker, an environmental services technician. Whatever you are, it is your purpose, your full-time job is to spread Jesus Christ to the world. As loyal disciples, we don't come to church merely to get what we can get from Jesus. We don't come to church just to get our needs met, but we come to serve and to meet the needs of others. If we are serious about wanting to follow Jesus, we soon discover that we cannot qualify if we're merely on the take, so to speak. If we're only thinking about ourselves. But it's time in this mission, if you decide to accept it, is to look out for your brother and sister and to care for others. We will soon discover that we are being called to ministers of love and kindness. No matter where you are, no matter your vocation, no matter what hood you came from or where you live, you have a responsibility to spread the word of God. In my studies this week, I thought about the book of Ezekiel. It's not on the screen, but Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, talks about the fact that Ezekiel, who was a man of God, was carried out in a vision. God caused him to have a vision. And in this vision, God took him out and showed him a valley. And the valley was full of bones. The Bible says that they were very dry bones, skeletons, if you will, spread it about the valley, all broken up and dry, had been there for years. In the vision, this represented the children of Israel who had turned their backs on God. And as God showed this vision to Ezekiel, God asked him a very important and awkward and unusual question. God said to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live? Can these bones live?" Ezekiel was puzzled because imagine he's looking over this valley of skeletons, of dead people, of bones, dry because they have been in the valley for a long time. And Jesus asked him a question, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel didn't have an answer, but God said to him, "Preach to those bones." I want you to know today that I look at that valley, that vision, and I compare it to where we are today. We're living in a world where there's a lot of dry bones, a lot of dead people, a lot of people who are lost that have not decided to accept Christ in their lives, and they're living a dead life. They're walking dead men and women. And I want you to know today that God is saying to us as a church, preach to those bones. Prophesy the word of God to those dry bones. In Ezekiel's vision, as he began to prophesy the word of God to those bones, the Bible says that those bones got up and began to come together, and they stood as an army of skeletons. And then as he continued to preach, the Bible says that flesh became upon them, and they became as living people. I want you to know today that our mission is to preach to those bones, to tell those bones in our community, in our areas, that God loves them, that Jesus is real, and that he would save them. And as we begin to tell the word of God, and as we begin to do our mission, I guarantee you, because the Bible says so, that those bones will come alive. Now, keep in mind, it is our mission just to plant the seed. We ought to plant the seed. The Bible says that one plants, one waters, and then God gives the increase. In other words, we give the word, we plant the seed. Another person comes and encourages and waters that seed, but only God. Somebody say, only God. Only God can give the increase. I can't save anybody. If I can save folks, my neighbor would be saved. My dog would be saved. If I had the power to save folks, everybody in the world would be saved. But I can only give them the mission. I can only give them the recipe. I can only give them direction of what the Bible says. But God gives the increase. If we feel God has called us to do the impossible, then we are indeed following the radical God of the Bible. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Yes, I can complete the mission. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Our mission, if you should choose to accept it, is to give the word of God. It requires that you be bold. It requires that you do what God says outward and inward. Matthew 28:19-20 says, listen, this is our mission. Listen, it makes it very plain. It's on the screen. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you to the very end of ages." God is not going to leave you if you do your mission. You will never be alone if you do your mission. You will never be by yourself. Other agents will always be around you. You'll always have the tools needed to complete your mission. We ought to preach the gospel in all the world as witnesses until Christ returns. This aspect requires you to look inward and outward. It requires you first to look at yourself and prepare yourself to spread the gospel. Prepare yourself and strive to be just like Jesus. You can use the weapons that God has provided for you to face this mission. We've talked about the tools. You have prayer. You have faith. You have praise. You have the word of God. You have your brothers and sisters to pray with you. You have every tool that you need to complete the mission. In closing, I thought about Moses and the children of Israel. Moses was given an impossible mission. His mission was to encourage Pharaoh to let the people go, to let the people of God go free. Pharaoh accomplished that mission. God provided him a way and sent different signs to Pharaoh. And eventually the children were set free. But at some point, as they began to leave Egypt, they found themselves standing before a sea of water that they had no way to cross. And by that time, Pharaoh had changed his mind and sent an army to capture them. So now they're facing a sea, and they turn around and a great army is coming toward them. And I want you to know today that when you go on this mission that God has sent you on, sometimes you're going to come to a sea. And you're not going to understand how to cross that sea, but God will make a way. Reminds me of a story that I once heard in closing. There was a mother who was making her son go to Sunday school against his wishes. He claimed that Sunday school was boring and he didn't get anything out of youth and he didn't want to go to Bible study. Well, his mother happened to know that the lesson on a particular Sunday was about Moses crossing the Red Sea. So she figured that lesson would spike his interest, that he would gain interest and enjoy that lesson. So her son went to the lesson that day, and when he got home, she said to him, "What did you learn in Sunday school today?" Her son paused for a few moments, and he began to relate the story to her. He said to her, "Well, Mom, the Egyptians had the Israelites trapped against the sea. So Moses called in the army engineers, and they built a bridge across the sea. And in the night, they moved across the bridge. And in the morning, the Egyptians saw what had happened, and they rolled their army tanks across the bridge. But just before they got other side, Moses called the Air Force. And the Air Force came in and blew up the bridge and all the Egyptians that were on the bridge." His mother looked at him and said, "Johnny," they're always called Johnny. Johnny must have been a bad little dude. But anyway, she says, "Johnny, I'm sure that's not the way your Sunday school teacher told you that story." Johnny looked up at his mother and said, "You're right, Mom. That's not the way they told the story, but if I tell it like he told me, you wouldn't believe it." I say that because a lot of times, church, when you find yourselves in situations and when things are not going well, you as a believer, you know that you have an advocate. You know that God is going to deliver you. People will not believe what God is doing in your life. But you have a story to tell, and I encourage you to tell your story. They might not believe it, but there's going to come a time when they find themselves in the same situation that you're in. And they're going to remember how you say God brought you out of that same situation. Tell your story. Tell what God has done for you. Tell them in what seemed to have been the mission that was impossible, how God brought you through that mission. We used to sing a song at the church that I used to go to, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But they used to sing a song that says, "Sometimes I look back and wonder how I got over." And that's the way it is. People don't understand how you're going through stuff, and things are happening in your life, and you're running into block walls and closed doors, but yet you have a smile on your face. Yet you are in church on Sunday morning. Even though things are going bad, you are still giving in church and You're still praying for others. You're still going about your mission because you know that in the end, God is going to say to you, come on up a little higher. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rulers over many. There is no mission that is impossible if you believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank you this morning because you have given us a mission to spread your word, but you've also given us the means to accomplish the mission. And the good news is we know what the end of the story is. We know how the story ends. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave your son that we might have a right to the tree of life. We ask that you bless us as a church, that we go about your mission, and that we spread your gospel in Jesus' name. Amen.